This morning's scripture comes from the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 21. It is sort of one of those that you will always hear every year, like Christmas story, the Easter story, and the Pentecost story. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind and filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other language as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. Those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, the 7th chapter, verses 37 and 39 through 39. Let us listen for the word of God. On the last day and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, "Any who are thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Those who believe in me, as the scripture says, from the innermost being will the flow of waters and the rivers of living water." Here, Jesus was referring to the Spirit, which those who came to believe were to receive, though she had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. We know that there are lots of languages in this world, and I think that we know that it's sometimes difficult to live in a world with so many languages. I grew up in a family where there was a second language that was spoken, but it was a language that I never fully understood. My dad is French Canadian. He is second generation US born, so English is his second language. He spoke French. He didn't speak English until he was in the 8th grade. And after that, after 5 o'clock at night, you spoke French in the house. There was no English allowed. So anytime that he was with Mamay or his siblings, Mamay is his mother, my grandmother, they spoke French, which left us Anglos, as Mamay called my mother and my siblings and I, out of the conversation. So between Mamay, Matount, Manonk, which is grandmother, aunt, and uncle in their dialect, and Touche for Touche pie, which is a holiday staple that I don't care for. But beyond that, I was lost in that language. Over the next 4 decades, I learned enough German to pass through high school for 3 years. I can still do probably 3 sentences if I absolutely have to. I learned enough Japanese to help 2 of my children host Japanese students for 4 years and to have those students feel fairly comfortable in the house. I learned enough Kiswahili so that when I was in Kenya, I could be respectful to the people that were hosting us. With all of that said, I knew just enough to know that I don't know anything. And I freely admit that. But to be sure that there are some moments in our lives when it feels like we no longer speak the same language when we are all collectively together. Now, granted, most of us use the same words. We read the same headlines. We live in the same country. We live in the same corner of this world. We shop at the same stores, and we stand in the same lines at the Secretary of State. But we don't always speak the same language. Somehow, we can leave a conversation with entirely different understandings of what was said. We have become suspicious listeners. We brace ourselves before family dinners. We avoid certain topics in the coffee shop. We rehearse those arguments before anyone else even speaks. And perhaps the only place where we really have a go at saying what we truly see, want to say, is online, where we can do it fairly anonymously. Sometimes it feels safer not to talk at all. And it is into a world very much like that that Pentecost arrives. Pentecost does not happen in a peaceful, harmonious, everyone agrees with each other moment. It happens in a tense world. Jerusalem is crowded with pilgrims from every imaginable region of the area. We just celebrated Passover. They're all there to give their praise and prayer as well as their sacrifices. These are people with different languages, different customs, different politics, different understandings of power and faith and identity. The disciples themselves were hardly united pillars of confidence. They weren't. Just weeks before, so Pentecost, we're now 47 days past Easter. Just 47 days, and they have remembering. They abandoned Jesus. They had denied Jesus. They had hidden behind locked doors and shuttered rooms. And they had argued. Oh, they had argued over what was the most important thing to be doing that day. Yet this is the moment that the Holy Spirit chooses to show up. Not after everyone gets their theology correct. Not after everyone's ideology is the same, not after everyone calms down, not after culture becomes less divided. Right then, right now, right there, right here, in the noise, in the confusion, in the fear. Scripture says, and suddenly from heaven there was a sound like a rush of violent wind. The Spirit arrives with disruption. And then comes the miracle that we often misunderstand. The miracle of Pentecost is that not everyone suddenly speaks the same language. The miracle is that people suddenly understand each other without losing their own language. And that really matters. Acts does not say that the Spirit erased our differences. It says each one heard them speaking in the native language of the other. The Parthians could understand the Medes. The Medes could understand the Egyptians. The Egyptians could understand the Romans. The Romans could understand the Cretans and the Arabians. Each speaking their own language, but everyone able to understand them without a translator. The Spirit did not flatten humanity into sameness. The Spirit created understanding across the differences. And that is a very different and important thing to do, because sameness is easier than understanding. But we don't want to be the same. We want to understand. We want to live in a world where it is easier to hold a conversation. And right now, we find ourselves believing it is easier to gather only with people that think like us, only people that do things like we do, that they read the same news that we do. They share our assumptions. I would love it if people used my vocabulary. It is a brown paper bag, not a sack, and you put a soda in it, not pop. Right? I want you to use my vocabulary. Understand my jokes and confirm my fears. We want to be it. But Pentecost is not a celebration of sameness. It is a celebration of God refusing to let differences become division. And perhaps that is exactly what the church, what we need right now. A celebration of God refusing to let differences become division. We are living in a time when political identity can become deeper than our baptismal identity, when disagreement quickly becomes dehumanization, when people are sorted into categories before they are known as a beloved child of God. We are having some really good conversations right now at Soup and Conversation. We've had 2 weeks. The first month is done. And we are learning that there are more ways to speak and communicate with each other. And for those of you that are at Soup and Conversation, speak freely at coffee time on how you're experiencing that, but I'm going to share my words on how I am experiencing Soup and Conversation right now. And we are talking about disruption, political unrest in these conversations. But in those conversations, we are learning that some of us speak the language of economic anxiety. Some of us speak the language of environmental concerns. Some of us speak the language of personal liberty. We speak the language of community responsibility. Some of us speak the language of generational memory. What our parents taught us, what our grandparents went through, what our kids are learning and inheriting. Some of us speak the language of trauma. And we speak these languages without ever actually saying these words, but this is the language from which we come. At the end of every session, the last two that we've had, we encourage each other to share a word of hope. We light a candle, and we say a word of hope, becoming more aware of the hope that is needed in the world, becoming intentional about the hope that is needed and that we want to bring forth into the world. And yet, with all of that good conversation that happens, there is a temptation to believe that if everyone would just think like me, peace would come. The Spirit at Pentecost does something harder and holier. The Spirit teaches us to listen. And that is what we've been doing with Soup and Conversation, is we're learning to listen. We say that we're going to speak with honesty, but we're also going to respect the honest words of other people. Right? It teaches us to listen. Real listening is sacred work. It's not listening in order to reload an argument. It's not listening in order to win. It's not listening in order to diagnose what is wrong with somebody else. Listening is to understand. Understanding does not require agreement. And that is important for us to remember. The people of the church are not called to become anything politically identical with each other. We are not called to be politically identical. We, the people of the church, are called to become spiritually faithful, and they're not the same thing. I want you to picture all of the disciples, and I applaud anyone who can give me all of the careers that the disciples had before they became the disciples. I know that there were zealots sitting with tax collectors. People with wildly different views of empire, of justice, of economics, and the power, and they sat at the same table with Jesus. There were lawyers and fishermen that sat together at that table, much less Sadducees and Pharisees sitting at the same space with women in the same room. And yet Jesus was able to do that. Jesus is able to hold people together that probably would never have even acknowledged each other out on the street. And maybe that is still one of the church's most important callings, to become one of the last places where people do not have to agree on everything in order to love one another. As we heard in John last week, that they may be one in you, that we may be one in God. And that doesn't mean avoiding hard conversations. Pentecost is about pretending, is not about, Pentecost is not about pretending differences do not exist. They do. Pentecost means remembering that another person is always more than what you see at any given moment. Pentecost tells us that the person standing in front of us is always somebody else's child. That maybe they're grieving, maybe they're afraid, maybe they're hoping for a better world. And Pentecost reminds us that they are always someone created in the image of God. The Spirit allows us to hear that humanity again. Now, there's a sentence in this morning's scripture that caught me as I was sitting with it this week. They were bewildered. This catches me for the word bewildered, maybe the most honest spiritual condition that we experience today. Bewildered. We are bewildered by the pace of change. We are bewildered by anger and cruelty and misinformation. We are bewildered by how quickly our neighbors, who we have always thought kind and generous, can very quickly become our enemies when they put up a different yard sign. As our stories and our lessons move this morning, did you notice, though, what the Spirit does not do? So we are bewildered, but the Spirit does not eliminate the complexity of our bewilderment. Instead, the Spirit creates a connection in the middle of all of our complexity. And maybe that begins in small ways. Maybe Pentecost today looks like asking a question instead of assuming you know the answer, refusing to mock someone, choosing curiosity over contempt, breaking bread with someone that doesn't sit at our table all the time. And the hard one is remembering that no political party has a monopoly on either sin or righteousness. We're all a mixed up, messed up group of people. So maybe Pentecost looks like we care more about bearing the fruits of the Spirit than winning every argument. Because the loudest voice is not always the holiest voice. Now the Spirit that Jesus sends in John's Gospel comes with breath. Jesus sends the breath, sends the Spirit, and he breathes on the people praying. He prays on his disciples, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit." And that is Ruach. Ruach is the Hebrew word that is the very beginning of our Bible. That is the breath that God put into Adam and Eve. That is the breath that brought about creation. The breath of life. And breath is intimate. It is close. It is shared. How many of us have been near somebody whose anxiety gets really high and hyped up for whatever reason? Something catastrophic is happening to them and they just, and they can't breathe. And the first thing we want to do is help them to breathe, to slow down, to be present. And that is what we are called to do. Remember, you cannot breathe fire at someone and breathe peace into them at the same time. And it is peace that Jesus gives with the Spirit. Peace be with you. Not victory, not domination, peace. Biblical peace is not passive politeness. It is not pretending that everything is fine. It is hard work of remaining human with one another. Remember this, that understanding does not mean agreement. Understanding, as the Pentecostal went through, and we can understand the Romans and the Mendes and the Cretans, the Arabians, doesn't mean that they all agreed. Understanding means refusing to give up on one another. The disciples could have stayed in the upper room. The crowd could have walked away that day. Peter, who goes on to be the first to preach, could have preached only to the people who were already agreeing with him instead of traveling across the land. But Pentecost, today, the Spirit, the holy fire, the wind. It's the story of the people who stay. And they stay long enough to hear. They stay long enough to be changed. They stay long enough to become a community. The world teaches us to sort, dismiss, and reduce. The Spirit teaches us to see, to truly and really see each other. And perhaps that is one of the greatest struggles that we face today. The modern church is not simply that we disagree, but that we have stopped expecting God to work through other people whose experiences, perspectives, or voices differ from our own. Pentecost today reminds us that God speaks in many languages, in many accents, many forms. Pentecost reminds us that the Holy Spirit speaks across differences, not only within our comfort zones. Pentecost reminds us that we need to remember our own humility, because none of us hears perfectly, none of us understands completely, and none of us see the full picture alone. The Spirit is already at work in us, and we do not understand it. The Spirit is already speaking through voices that we have not yet learned to hear. The Spirit is already building bridges that we have not yet walked across. Pentecost is God's promise that understanding is possible. Not because we are wise enough, patient enough, or good enough, but because the Spirit is relentless, because the Holy Spirit constantly pushes us to listen to the other, to hear what the other has to say. The Spirit pushes us to see the divine spark of God in each other. So may we become people who listen deeply, who speak gently, who disagree honestly, love courageously, and remember that every person we meet is someone for whom Jesus has breathed the breath of peace.